Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the family and all who loved and cherished her, I want to welcome you and thank you for being here today as we gather in love, music, and remembrance to celebrate the extraordinary life of Judy McQueen. We are joined today by family, friends, neighbors, fellow church members, and community leaders, each of us touched in a unique way by her kindness, her leadership, and her unwavering commitment to others. Judy was more than a member of our church family. She was a pillar in the community, a passionate advocate for women's voices, a thoughtful guide on journeys both near and far, and above all, a fiercely loyal friend. Her impact reached far beyond the walls of this or any church, and her spirit lives on in the countless lives she uplifted and inspired. Today, we honor her legacy with stories, song, and the deep gratitude that we were blessed to walk beside her and with her. Welcome. Now, let us take a deep breath and center ourselves in this sacred moment of prayer. Loving and eternal God of presence and peace, we gather today with hearts full of gratitude, celebration, and longing. We give thanks for the life of our beloved Judy, a woman of courage, conviction, and passion, a guide, a leader, and friend. In her laughter, we heard joy. In her advocacy, we heard justice stir. And in her friendship, we found comfort and strength. Through her life, we caught a glimpse of what your love looks like in action. So as we remember her today, may this space be filled with a spirit of peace, the kind that surpasses all understanding. May the legacy of her life, so magnificently lived, transcend the grief and sorrow of her loss, inspire us to live lives of selfless service, extravagant love, and grateful hearts. We pray this in the name and the spirit of the one who taught us how to live and how to love. Amen. I just realized I knew it would happen. I forgot something that would be important to the preacher. I am going to borrow a pew Bible here. Had my leather bound in there. This, for many of you, will be familiar, often read as we remember and think about the brevity of life and our eternal hope. It's from Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what has been planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Amen.
And he will raise him up on eagle's wings, bearing on the dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life. Say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock, in whom I trust, and he will raise you.
I met Judy on a hot, humid June day. Our boys were in Boy Scouts, and our husbands and our boys were going on a scouting trip. And the scout wives had gathered to see the scouts leave, and Judy said to the scout mothers, "It's a beastie hot day, and I have air conditioning at my house. So if any of you scout moms want to, you can come to my house and cool off." So I went to Judy's house. And Judy and I became friends. So we discovered that we liked it when our boys and our husbands went camping, because then she and I could go out to eat and go shopping. And we found that we had other things we enjoyed. We enjoyed doing crafts. We took stretch and sew classes. We took a painting class. And we enjoyed many of the same things. And we liked shopping. Judy was an excellent shopper. Judy had good taste, she knew quality, and she knew the price. And she said, my favorite four-letter word is sale, S-A-L-E. And when we went shopping, right to the sale corner she would go. So we would go back. I'd circle the sale table with Judy. I wouldn't see anything especially that I wanted or interested me. But Judy, she would circle and look at the sales. And she would come out with something with good taste, fine quality, and the right price. So she was a good shopper. She could make a decision. And one of the fastest times she ever shopped, we were on a trip and we were in the country of the Netherlands. And there was sidewalk sale, of course. And so we were going to shop the sidewalk sales. And we had to cross the street to get to the sidewalk. So Judy crossed the street and I had to wait because there was traffic coming. So by the time I crossed the street, Judy's on the sidewalk. Look at this scarf. I've already bought a scarf. So before I could cross the street, she had already bought a scarf. So she was an excellent shopper. We shared many things. We shared the love of our families. We were so proud of our children, and we were shared in the joy when they graduated from college, when they got married, when they had families, when we became grandparents, and then the joy that we had and the pride of watching our grandchildren grow up and accomplish things. So we shared many friends and friend activities and travel, and we enjoyed many things. We belonged to a four couples bridge group, wonderful bridge group. We belonged to that for several months. We loved to go to Judy's game nights and her special things that she would schedule, so we always enjoyed that. And we enjoyed doing things as couples, and Judy and Vern and Phil and I played tennis regularly at the Mac. We played every week before we went to work in the morning. And so my husband and Judy were partners, and Vern and I were partners. And if Vern and I won at tennis, we did this ridiculously silly dance to the embarrassment and chagrin of Judy and Phil. So it was more fun to win because not only did we win, but we got to do the silly dance. So we also enjoyed traveling together, and we went to Hawaii for a week's vacation. And when we got there, the only rental car available was a real small car. So there's four of us for a week's vacation in Hawaii with our luggage, our tennis rackets, our hats, and everything. And so we're trying to get all of this in this small car, which we did. But it was so funny. You could barely see Judy and Vern in the back seat. They were surrounded with all of the luggage and everything. And it was fun just to see that. And then we also took a hot air balloon ride in Arizona. And we took the balloon ride at dawn. And we were up in this hot air balloon basket and we watched the sunrise. It was absolutely beautiful. And then after that, we had breakfast at a picnic table alongside the road. So we had wonderful fun traveling memories together. And the funniest and my favorite was we were on a cruise, and as you know, we had made arrangements to go to dinner together, and they were going to pick us up at our stateroom, and so we're ready to go to dinner, and they don't show, and so that's unusual. They were always prompt, and so they weren't there at the appointed time, and so then the phone rang, and it's Judy. Glenna, get over here, I need help. Come help me find Vern's teeth. He's lost his teeth. So So we go over to their stateroom, and as you know, staterooms on cruise ships are quite compact. But anyway, we very methodically started looking in the bathroom and searching the bathroom and all of the drawers. And then we keep looking, and we're dressed for dinner. But anyway, so then we get on the beds, and so we're going through the linen, looking around the beds, searching around the beds, and then we get down on the floor, and we start crawling around the floor. And we did find his teeth. And we went to dinner. We just had a wonderful, delicious dinner. Then we went to the show and saw a great show. And so we just have lots of fun and nice memories. As Judy's health declined, she moved to assisted living, and she moved to the memory care unit. And I would go to visit Judy, and we would share a meal, and I would help her cut her food, and she would eat in silence. And on some occasions, I would take my knitting. Judy had her knitting in her room, and so we would take our knitting, go out of her room, and go sit by this cozy, warm fireplace, and we would sit and knit. And Judy talked very, conversation was very limited. She talked very little then. But the companionship of friends sitting by the fireplace knitting is just, it's a wonderful memory to share. And they, another time I visited her, and I said, Judy, would you like to look at some of your magazines? And she chose a Good Housekeeping magazine. She opened up the magazine, and she started reading to me, and she read aloud to me from the Good Housekeeping magazine. So I am very grateful and very blessed to have had such a long-time friendship with my dear friend Judy. Judy, who had a life well lived.
What wonderful memories, and I think we're all smiling, remembering that part of Judy's life. Thank you, Glenna. That was so a trip down memory lane. But while Glenna reflected on her long-term friendship with Judy, I'm going to talk today about a different part of Judy's life, her many accomplishments in her work life and her career. I first met Judy in 1977, when I was just 27 years old, and I had moved back to the Lansing area to work at the YWCA. In my first week on the job, I got a call from the director of the Lansing Community College Women's Resource Center, a vibrant, dynamic, accomplished woman named Judy McQueen, who welcomed me to my new job, invited me to lunch, took me under her wing, introduced me to everyone in the women's community, and made sure I was successful in my new job. So when I look back at that encounter almost 50 years ago, I see all the components that made Judy a powerhouse in her professional life. She was an incredible leader, connector of people, and encouraged women to take risks to achieve their dreams, just as she took risks throughout her career. And you have to remember that Judy grew up in the 1940s and 1950s, graduating from high school in 1956, when the options for women were much more limited than they are now. But even at that time, Judy knew she wanted and needed a career in addition to her marriage and her beloved family. She had a knack for writing and public relations. So early on, she worked as a freelance reporter for the Lansing State Journal, and then as a director of public relations for both Weight Watchers and then later for the United Way. And Judy was very successful in these jobs in her early career, but she continued to be drawn to helping women and addressing the challenges facing women in the 1970s. And I look out and see a lot of young people in the room who would not understand what many women in this room understand about the challenges in the 1970s. So when she was asked to be the first director of the newly created Lansing Community College, Lansing Women's Resource Center, she jumped at the chance. And for the next 11 years, Judy did what Judy did best. She met with thousands of women and helped them figure out what they might want to do. Go back to school, make a career change, contemplate ending a marriage, getting their finances in order, you name it. And she encouraged them to take risks to achieve their dreams. And then Judy took another big risk. She left the LCC Women's Resource Center, which she had founded, and went down the street to Michigan State University, where she worked for the next 21 years, did the same kind of work with the MSU Women's Program Department. And there she touched the lives of thousands more women. Judy was a connector extraordinaire who connected women to scholarships, classes, job opportunities, support groups, new ideas, and community organizations. I have met so many women over the years, and I see a couple in the audience right now, who remember meeting Judy and having their lives change forever. And often, if you met Judy through her professional role, you got engulfed in her friendship role. So we were very fortunate for that. If you were a friend of Judy's, worked with her, or took a class from her, you probably heard her recite her favorite poem, the Butterfly Poem. It was about butterflies and risk. It started with, "You can fly, but that cocoon has got to go." She enabled people to see their own dreams, develop confidence, and shed their cocoon of safety and security, and take the risks necessary for change. And I can't not mention that in addition to all of her work professionally, another piece of that professional job is that she became well known in our community for her commitment to women's issues. She worked closely with our county prosecutor in the 1970s and other women's groups to establish the Council Against Domestic Assault. Now it seems impossible that we weren't even aware of domestic assault issues, as well as helped establish the first women's domestic violence shelter. She was a founder of the Tri-County Women's Coalition and played an active role in the YWCA, the Michigan Women's Hall of Fame, Friends of Mildred Erickson Scholarship, and Women Aware, all endeavors which celebrated and helped women. She received the Diana Award for Community Contributions in recognition of her work. And if that wasn't enough, while working full-time, Judy took another big risk and founded Capital Area Tours, and once again connected people, this time through travel. In fact, how many of you today have been on one of Judy's tours? Raise your hand, I'll see. Or one of her 63 cruises that she led during that piece of her professional life. Judy McQueen was an amazing woman who left a lasting legacy in our community. One of her dreams was to establish an endowed scholarship at Lansing Community College that would be given annually to a deserving student. She would be absolutely thrilled to know that the Judy McQueen Memorial Endowed Scholarship has been set up by Judy's children to carry on her life work. Our donations will help raise the funds necessary to fund it and help women in the future every year carry on the work of Judy. If you'd like to contribute, there are envelopes by the sign-in book in the fellowship hall, and a QR code is on the back of the program. And in closing, I'm thinking again of Judy's favorite butterfly poem, which she wanted shared at her funeral. It ended with, "About butterflies, the cocoon has only two choices. What if I refuse to risk? Do I too die inside, still wrapped in the swaddling web?" There is no doubt that our Judy, throughout her life, made the choice to leave her cocoon, to take risks, to be a change agent, to combine a successful career with marriage and children, to question society's definition of women's roles, and through doing all of this, made a lasting difference in the lives of us lucky enough to have known her.
Every one of us here today have memories of Judy. Many of you here are her friends. So my reflections this morning will be on friendship. In addition to Judy's devotion to her family and her precious Kevin and Lisa and all of her grandchildren, she was devoted to her friends. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "The only way to have a friend is to be one." And Judy's devotion to friends was an essential part of who she was. She knew what it meant to be a good friend, understanding that the value of true friendship was not only in what you gave, but what you got in return. She had enduring friendships from every phase of her life's journey, cherishing the bonds that enriched her heart because of her relationships with many of you in this room. Throughout her life, Judy brought people together again and again and again. And as Joni talked about Judy as a connector, Judy was also a community builder, whether it was large groups of people or small groups of people. As Joni indicated, and Glenna, I think, mentioned too, if you spent a few minutes with Judy, you probably were connected in one of her communities. Some of the communities that she built or was part of were Swimmin' Women, Dominettes, her sorority, and I'm sure you can think of many other groups that she put together, and there were always some special names for those groups. Even in the last years, she organized movie nights and shopping trips at the senior community where she lived. Who among you has not been on a tour of one of her 63 cruises, or gone on consignment trip tours, attended one of her time management programs, or simply going to a movie matinee? She was always putting groups together. And one of Judy's lifelong passions was creating circles of women. She was the catalyst for many of these. And 47 years ago, she created a circle of women called the Book Group. The Book Group was made up of women that Judy selected, representing all backgrounds and professions. Why we are called the Book Group, nobody knows, because we have never formally read and discussed books. But what we have done for 47 years is to support each other and love each other unconditionally. We've celebrated successes, served as confidants, coped with difficult times, navigated life's changes, and offered unconditional love and support to each other. We are more than friends. We are sisters of the heart. Some of our fondest book group memories are make it and take it, holiday crafts. That was not one of Judy's favorite things to do, but she did it anyway. We had Green's Treks in Grand Rapids, and I vividly remember Judy walking across a very narrow piece of wood across a brook and being coached all the way across, because again, that was not something that Judy would really want to do. We made theater trips to Chicago and to New York City, visits to the Pacific Northwest, and 7 years ago, we celebrated the 40th anniversary of Book Group by going to the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island. Our happy place is in a beautiful home on the shores of Lake Michigan in South Haven. There we shared our secrets, wrote our obituaries, created bucket lists, and just hung out in our jammies, drinking wine and telling stories. And of course, you never could go anyplace with Judy without going shopping. So every time we went to South Haven, we hit all of the shops and ended with a meal at Clementine's, onion rings, and mac and cheese preferred. It was in South Haven years ago that Book Group decided when one of us died, the living members would stand together in her memory. This tradition includes flowers of every color, representing our different personalities that make up a beautiful whole. There are four white flowers in our bouquet, representing those who have left us. 9 of the 13 book club members survive, with 6 of us here, including Judy's sister-in-law, Connie, who was her beloved Sissy. As our matriarch, Judy has always been in charge of this simple ceremony, but today we stand to honor her. Forever friends, forever sisters of the heart, forever grateful.
Strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up.
You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up to
such a perfect song, because Judy did that. She raised us up. She lifted us up. And so many of us can attest to that, that she was masterful at building relationships, masterful at making people feel good about who they were, because she could see inside of us. I'm Sue McQueen, and I'm Judy's daughter-in-law, and often, that relationship is a challenging one between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, especially when the mother is close to her son, as Judy was to Kevin. But when I, as she's said to me many times during my years with Kevin, is if you and Kevin ever have a disagreement, you come talk to me because I will support you. I never tested her on that. When I met her in 2006, it was a few months after Kevin and I had started dating, and we were sitting in Kevin's lake house. He was in the kitchen preparing some food, and we were sitting on the couch, and she pointed to him, and she said, "He's not ready yet, but when he is, you have my blessing." We had been dating a few months, and I remember thinking, I know she's talking about marriage, but I said, "I'm not ready." And she said, "Well, you're much farther along on the divorce status path, so you will probably be ready before he will. And I want you to know you have my blessing." Which was, you know, she saw something in me that I probably didn't even see in myself at the time. It was just, it endeared her to me at a, you know, right away, right when I first met her. When I decided or felt this call to ministry, she was so supportive of me. It was not something that Kevin had signed up for. He didn't know when we got married that he'd end up being a minister's husband. He didn't know the commitment that it would take to run a church. But Judy was so supportive of my ministry. I think she saw something in me that she saw in herself with this late bloomer, having a career later in your life, and it was just such a wonderful feeling to know that somebody had my back. She was there. She was there for me. And so many times when things would come up in my work, she would be such a great listener and support me and what I was doing in my world, in my work world. What a beautiful, beautiful soul. I loved her. We got a call from Connie that we shouldn't wait till after Easter to come see Judy. And so we both came. I really wanted to be here with her at the end to be able to say goodbye. And when the day that she ended up making her transition, I had brought some oil with me, some essential oil. And it's called Breath, and it has the scents of peppermint and lemon and rosemary and eucalyptus. And so we knew that the end was coming, and so I anointed her. I anointed her, and I rubbed the oil into her forehead and into her hands. And I had read the 91st Psalm to her, a translation of it by Nan Merrill, which I just love, and it talks about the angels are watching over you. And as I anointed her hands and her forehead, I said to her, Whenever you're ready, Judy, whenever you and God are ready for you to take your last breath, remember that when you took your first breath, you came into a world that was filled with love. You came into a space where people that were there with you loved you. And when you take your last breath, whenever that is, know that you are surrounded with love. May your last breath be sweet. May your last breath be of peppermint and lemon and eucalyptus and rosemary. May your last breath be filled with love. May it be filled with joy. May it be filled with peace, knowing that you are surrounded in love right now, that we love you. Kevin and I were both holding one of her hands as she took her last breath, and I put a song, I wanted her to know she wasn't alone. I wanted her to not be afraid. And so I put a song on my phone, Be Not Afraid. And we were playing that for her as she took her last breath. And I didn't know it was a Catholic hymn. I would have picked something else. So I don't even know if she knew that song. But it was just it's a beautiful song to remember that we're not alone, to not be afraid, that we're going to a better place, our souls. And so her passing was peaceful and beautiful and sweet. And I want to close with a poem that I think just sounds like Judy to me. It's by Maggie Dent. Sometimes on our journey through life, we meet people who leave footprints on our mind. They challenge us to see things differently and to question our personal reality. Sometimes on our journey through life, we meet people who leave footprints on our heart. They create a safe place for us to open our hearts to feel loved and special. Then sometimes on our journey through life, we meet people who leave footprints on our souls. They share themselves with us so profoundly that they touch the very essence of who we are in that secret, quiet place. Judy has left gentle footprints on the minds, hearts, and souls of so many here today. May we always remember the beauty of her love, her kindness, and the sacred way she touched our lives.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. On behalf of my sister and I would like to put a little icing on the cake. So many good stories, so many good memories that we all have of my mom. I don't know that there's a lot more to say. I felt honored to be her caregiver, primary caregiver. And it was such a blessing, one that I would never have anticipated. It felt like a duty couple and a half years ago, and it ended with, oh my gosh, everyone should be so fortunate as to be surrounded by the love that Mom birthed and we closed with. I'd like to just add a couple of quick things. One, the irony of the day, the daily word from our unity practice is embrace life. What a perfect word for today. We're here celebrating and embracing Mom. We've talked about Mom's passions, but what's really coming up for me is how her love of organizing and creating things. She was a doer. She got things done. I learned that when you wanted something done, you took it to Mom. She was very good at it. Obviously, her love of travel touched many of us, most of us, I think. And lastly, the importance of friends. She was a connector. She built these relationships. She worked them. She was a good friend. These are also my passions. And this hit me last week when I thought, gosh, I've become my mom. And that's such a blessing, such a gift. So, you know, the pandemic was hard for all of us, but I think it took Judy's power away. Her ability to be with people, and she was lonely. And I remember a phone call in October of 21, and she said, "I'm moving." And I said, "You're moving? We had a plan." She said, "I have a new plan. My new plan is to move into an apartment complex with Diane." Come to find out, many of you know, Mom didn't like to cook. So what a gift Diane was to bring all the food to the table. And we're very grateful for that. So Mom got to Grand Haven, to the apartment, and she started working again. She started building relationships, and she was organizing game nights and movie nights. And she was surrounded by people, and she was in her glory again. The downsize. Boy, Mom liked to collect stuff. You've heard she likes to shop. So I remember one morning on what I call Project Connie, thank God for Connie, about a long period of time. And my sister called and said, "Mom's moving. We're moving, Mom. We're going to get rid of some stuff." And I thought, oh my goodness. Well, what I discovered is it's good to get rid of stuff before you die. It's really good to start this process of funneling down. So one morning I got up bright and early and I went downstairs to the lower level and I opened a couple of walk-in closets to find over 20 comforters, sheets, pillows. She had more suitcases, she had more stuff, right? So I said, "Mom, we gotta get rid of some of these things. You could take two." And the look on her face. So we ended up giving away 20-some comforters and bedding and sheets and things. And that's one of my funny stories that was just touching for me because I didn't realize it takes a long time to accumulate all that stuff. And it's got to go, and we've got a month. So thank goodness for that. Team Judy was the term that I used for Lisa and my mom or I need some help. And I was in Colorado, Lisa was in Traverse City, and it wasn't easy. So we would call on Team Judy. Matter of fact, I think Team Judy probably, we exchanged a few thousand text messages. Thank goodness for texts. And we stayed in touch. And we stayed up to speed with what was going on. What did Mom need? What did we need? And so that was really a blessing. Mom had a lot of angels in her life, but I specifically want to call out Connie and Glenna and Jerry and Diane, Ruth, and Joni, kind of the team on the ground that made things happen. And so we are so fortunate. Also, the people at Red Cedar Lodge treated Mom like family. And every time we went there, I cried, and they welcomed me, and I went and saw some of the residents last night. And wouldn't you know, there are fewer of them now than there were 2 months ago. It is the cycle of life. Also, hospice, what a gift that is. The last 6 weeks, I got to understand what hospice brings to the table. And I hope that we can all have such a wonderful, wonderful, peaceful closing as my mom had. So a good friend of mine who was processing her mother's bout with dementia in Colorado said to me, "Kev, you got to find some humor in all of this. It's hard. Caregiving is difficult. Hang in there. Keep your spirits up." And one of my favorite stories just came last November. Many of you in the room know this story. Mom started calling around the circle, and she said, "I want the hell out of here. Get me out of here." And she said, "I don't know who I have to call. Call the police, call the governor, call the executive management here at the place. I'm just ready to go." And what I realized was she was saying she's ready to leave this life, which was not as fun for her as it had been. And she was so bright that way, that she always had a plan, and that she always knew what the next step was going to be. Sometimes she would cross that bridge twice. She would always have two plans. I do that too. So she was saying on her own terms, "I'm preparing here," last November. She had a really good long life. I knew she was ready to go because we talked about it. Being able to talk to my mom about death was really powerful for both of us. The day after she passed, I met with Gorslein Funeral Services, and I walked in and they were doing a pitch, like a timeshare pitch. And I said, "What are we doing here? My mom already established this contract relationship with you all in the 90s. The woman said, "Well, we have to go through this. So she rattles up about $7,000 worth of expenses for cremation and ambulance services and all of this. And then there's this magic moment, and the woman hits a key on the keyboard, and the big screen shows up and says, "You owe me $327.52 because Mom was prepared, because Mom took this on in, you know, 30 years ago and decided she'd get ready. We had Mom's obituary written and updated annually. So my mom, this is who she was and what she did. She told me and wrote this down in handwriting in the 90s, I'm going to have my service on a Saturday at 11 o'clock and a luncheon to follow. That was Mom. So I came to realize in February, her decline seemed to be happening really fast. It was a lot faster than I had thought. It's like this is happening in super speed. And what I realized was that it was just the final chapter. It was, in essence, the latest voyage on her long journey of life, 86 years. For Mom, I think it was right timing. She closed down peacefully. She did it in with class. And when she became what we called nonverbal, she stopped talking, it was just that last month. And it was pretty special because she went hard until the very end. So I thank all of you for being here today. I thank my mom for being a very, very special part of all of our lives and making a huge difference in so many people's lives. I'm finding that with her gone physically, I can still reach out and talk to her. I'm finding guidance for my mom in this last month that I never had, because I could pick up the phone. I'd get in my car and I would call her. This is the gift of life. This is the gift of memories and smiles and laughter, is being able to reach out even though she's not here with us physically. So once again, I'd like to thank all of you for being here today to celebrate Mom's life. It was a good long life. Thank you.
With all the superlatives spoken about Judy, so eloquently given today, I feel a little bit like I'm in the cocoon, and I hear Judy's voice saying, "I'll just go ahead." It was my privilege to be Judy's pastor in the last years of her life. Had some visits with Judy, and even though we know she had declined, she had a boatload of things that she wanted to do and accomplish in the church, most of which didn't come to fruition, but it was always upon her mind. That's just the way she was. So we have gathered and we have honored the extraordinary life of a woman who was not just known, but beloved. A woman who showed us what it meant to live with purpose, with courage, and with unwavering faith in God and humanity. Judy was 86 years young when she passed, and I use the word young intentionally, because while the years may have added up, her spirit never aged. She remained vibrant, curious, generous, and sometimes, as we have heard, a little bit daring right up to the very end. Some surprises. She lived a life that often defied convention and exceeded expectations. Many of us spend our years checking boxes: school, career, family. But Judy, as we have heard, did things a little differently. She blossomed later in life, a late bloomer, as we've heard. Saw that written in an article in the Lansing State Journal a number of years ago, that Judy was a late bloomer, although I'm sure she had attained many accomplishments as she raised her family, a good family. Getting her bachelor's at 48 and her master's at 52, she was just getting started when most people are slowing down. And she didn't do it quietly. She stepped into leadership and service, founded organizations and champions women's causes and issues, and even on Father's Day, part of my sermon topic tomorrow. I, as some in this congregation know, have an interest, a historic interest in mountain climbing, and I did some myself, but particularly about women's climbing, and I just completed a book this week entitled Annapurna, and it was written by Arlene Bloom, who organized a trip to a mountain that is the top of which, the summit of which is in what they call the death zone, and men in the mountain climbing community said it could never be done, and she did it. They achieved the summit, and they sold t-shirts that men made fun of, but they were able to raise $80,000 to finance the trip in 1978. And they sold so many of those t-shirts that said, and it has a picture of a mountain, and it said, a woman's place is on top. The men made fun of that. The women knew exactly what that meant. I think Judy would connect to that. And women's causes, as we heard, were not as fashionable then and when Judy began this passion as it is now. She didn't just talk about empowerment. She lived it and created space for others to live in it too. She epitomized what Jesus meant when he said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life, I believe, with intention, is to love and serve others to the fullest, which indeed was a lasting legacy of Judy's life. She joined, founded, served, and was involved in, I think, about 25 organizations, and that's not a typo or a misspeak. Most, if not all, were service or charitable organizations. Judy was not passive in these, but someone who pledged, organized, and gave of herself completely. Awards followed. If we were to make a list of them, we'd be here a long time. Numerous honors and recognitions, but she didn't do it for applause. She did it because it was right, because justice, kindness, and truth weren't negotiable values for Judy. They were her calling. Judy loved to travel, include others in her journey. She led tours, gathered people, and opened eyes to new places and new perspectives. And just last year, a year ago right now, I was completing a 12,000-mile road trip when my church gave me a sabbatical. Most ministers would go off and get another degree or attend a retreat or something. I decided to take a 12,000-mile road trip to the Arctic Ocean, and I regret the fact that Judy was not well enough to have recounted that story with me, but I'm sure she would have. She was always ready for her next adventure, a woman after my own heart. She was a risk taker, not reckless, but she was brave. She didn't fear change, she welcomed it. She didn't wait for life to happen, she went out and made it happen. And as we've heard today, with joy and determination. And yet with all of her achievements, perhaps the greatest testimony to her life was her heart. She deeply valued friendship, and it is obvious that if she called you a friend, she meant it. She showed up, whether it was easy or hard, and she loved, as we've heard, without condition. Although it was my privilege to have known Judy mostly during the declining years of her life, I knew she loved coming to church. I knew of her active involvement in the Plymouth Church for years as a leader and as a servant. And when she first arrived at Mayflower, she offered to get involved in any way she could and share her talents and experience. Time and circumstance did not allow as many opportunities as we all would have cherished. But some in Deanne's Wednesday group remembered when she shared eloquently with them on occasion her faith and her vision. I loved to see her smiling face with those beautiful, penetrating eyes sitting right out there, always looking right at me when I walked down the aisle every Sunday. After the benediction, she was a strikingly beautiful woman inside and out. And what was so significant about her was that she took her worship, her church, and her faith out into the community and the world with a desire to change the world And by golly, she did. All for the better. Her seat may now be empty, but her spirit will echo in the pews and in our hearts for years to come. She believed in people. She believed in second chances, perhaps third and fourth. She believed in what was possible. And because of her belief and her faith, others believed too. I wish we could hear all the stories of those whom she influenced, probably thousands. But we must rest in the assurance that God knows those stories and those lives which have been profoundly affected. And many of us here today are walking testimonies to her faith, not just her faith in God, but her faith in us. So we offer more than just a goodbye today. We say thank you, Judy. Thank you, Judy, for showing us how to live boldly, how to serve selflessly, and how to love without limits. May we carry your light forward, not just in memory, but in action, in the risks we take, in the people we help, and in the lives for whom we serve, and in the faith that makes it all possible. Rest well, dear friend Judy. You ran your race with excellence and with grace, and now you are home. Amen.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak the words in foreign lungs, and before you wicked tongues insult and hate you all because of me. Blessed, blessed are you. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you rest. Come, follow me, and I will give you rest.
I would like to offer a brief closing prayer, which will simply be a blessing for the food as we break bread together in the Friendship Center this direction. And then I will offer a benediction, after which you will be dismissed. You can visit for a little bit if you'd like here in the sanctuary, and then we'll move toward the times of fellowship and food generously provided by the family. So let us pray God's blessing upon the gifts and provisions. Lord, we pray that you would bless our time, our fellowship, and in the memory and legacy of one whom we loved and who loved us. And Lord, bless Judy's macaroni and cheese. Amen. And now receive the benediction. May the God of the universe and captain of our souls bless you and keep you. May the Spirit of truth guide your steps and illuminate your path. May the wisdom of the ages inspire us to act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. May we embody all that which has inspired us today as we honor the memory of Judy through our actions and through our commitments. May the love of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, fill our hearts with peace. Go now in peace with courage and conviction to continue the work of justice, peace, and reconciliation, and do it with joy. Amen.